Welcome to the Lost Stop Podcast and the second edition of the Accursed Race, brought to you by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. Day two at the Accursed, and as the sun rises, all our riders are in for another day of hard miles through spectacular landscapes. Both control cars are out on the trails in search of riders, hoping to learn how their first night on the race unfolded. Andrew Phillips is our race reporter in Control Car 2, and he has the day's first sighting out on the route.
Yes, my name's Andy Dodd, I'm cap number 6. It is about 10 a.m, and yeah, I had a really good day yesterday actually. Much better than I expected. I got out through Pogorica and managed to climb and found a bit of shelter to bivvy in for about 4 hours or so.
4 hours sleep sounds very luxurious on the first night of a race. Are you feeling good about that?
Yeah, I am feeling good. It was a sensible decision. Also, just kept a little eye on what other people were doing as well and how much sleep they were getting. But I think there's no point too much riding through on the first night, especially with this race. It's quite long. Like, even if you're pushing hard, it's still going to be sort of, I don't know, 7 or 8 days. Yeah, I'm thinking keep on getting the sleep in and just, yeah, not get myself too worn out early on.
Shortly after, Andrew catches up with Christian Dupraz, cap number 12.
Hi, Christian, how are you doing?
Fine. It's really a beautiful course here.
And you're not regretting the drop bar bike? You've been managing okay on that?
I only know drop bar, so...
You've got some good...
I should have lowered my pressure.
You got some good thick mountain bike tyres on there. Wow, yeah, but it feels like you must be running them at about 60 PSI or something.
No, so I'm running it in bar, so 3.5 bar.
Well, I don't know how that converts, but I can tell you it's absolutely rock solid.
So it's good for the tarmac.
And for the rest of the day, do you have a game plan?
Go far. So I heard that Friday will be miserable, so make some kilometers.
One of the many challenges the riders face in the Accursed Mountains is the limited number of places to resupply. The route involves long stretches that offer stunning vistas and the kind of scenery that lives with you long after the race is over. But places to buy food and top up the water bottles are few and far between, which is why it's important our riders make hay when the sun shines. Race reporter Tom Probert is in Control Car 1.
So we're in Podgorica. We've just found Michael Fedora resupplying at an IDEA supermarket. Michael, how are you doing? You're resupplying, you're holding a banana.
I made every mistake I could possibly do.
What mistakes are
first,
we talking?
First, a routing mistake. My Garmin did not give me the junction into the hills on the before the last hill from the tarmac to the gravel.
How far did you ride beyond the junction, do you think?
All in all it was certainly a two hour
that's big.
Miss.
Yeah.
I was very frustrated, and then I refused to switch on my head torch. The biggest mistake at all, because it would have been way more easier to find the actual route.
Why did you not want to switch your head torch on?
I wanted to save electricity.
Yeah.
And that's stupid. That's an extremely stupid mistake. But I was completely toasted. It was actually very hard for me in the riding yesterday. I was physically really challenged.
Do you think those mistakes start coming in when you get tired and you're physically exhausted?
You can't think properly anymore.
We were treated to a wonderful image there, which Sam managed to capture when Michael took a quick stroll down the road with his shopping trolley to empty all of his rubbish in one of the bins by the side of the road. It looked like he was just having a leisurely shop, or he'd just completely lost his mind and tried to take on the next leg of the journey with a shopping trolley instead of his bike. It's a really wonderful, surreal image to see. And I guess indicative of a man that's serious about his refueling as well. Full on, full scale shopping trolley.
One of the riders expected to fight for the win at this year's Accursed is Marin Saint-Exupéry, cap cap number one, but illness struck before the race had even started, and day one in the mountains saw little improvement. So Marin has taken the decision to scratch, to stop riding. He's returned to Škoda earlier this morning and spoke to media manager Taylor Doyle.
How are you feeling?
It's been twice in 2 weeks I had to scratch two weeks ago from Tracker.
Oh, right.
I guess might be the same thing, but at Tracker it was just the beginning and now it's pretty tough. Yeah, this morning there were no point to go through the climb and just went down and came back here.
Yes.
Just have to recover and to put my head into something else.
Yes.
Yeah, that's quite sad because last year I was so stoked by volunteering here and seeing the race. So I really wanted to race it. That's how it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah. Adrian and I were here yesterday, like watching your dot, and he was like, oh no, he's coming back. And then he was like, oh no, he's continuing on. And we were really rooting for you. But when you feel that sick, you have to take care of yourself.
I've made like 3 naps during like yesterday. And every time I was like, one more nap and I would feel better. And yeah, it never happened. And I've slept like 12 hours tonight and wasn't still enough.
Well, it sounds like you made the right decision, and we hope to see you again in the future.
Yeah, I hope to come back also.
Back in the thick of the race, the team in Control Car 1 have managed to stumble across another rider attempting to refuel and stock up on supplies.
You've got to be on your toes at all times on the accursed race, even as the media crew. We just stopped at a gas station to try and intercept some of the riders who might be stopping here, and I was just checking out the facilities and came out and I saw Sam sprinting across the forecourt with her camera, which made me think, hold on, maybe a rider's already arrived. And sure enough, the telltale sign of a mountain bike covered in mud leant up against an ice cream freezer in the forecourt of the gas station tells us that indeed there is a rider within.
And that rider is Elias Backmund, Cap 16.
There's very little water on the way here, and my one point where I wanted to refill was dry, so I'm completely empty. But it just happened down the road, and the gas station just appeared right now. I thought it was way later, so and quite happy now.
You've kind of marked out all the water points on a map as well, haven't you?
A few, This one was one that I marked.
Yeah.
But then it's on a graveyard. But now when I turned it on, there was nothing.
So you can't totally rely on them.
No, not at all.
Yeah. How does that affect you, apart from obviously being thirsty? Does that affect you mentally as well?
Not yet, no. In Podgorica yesterday evening, I bought something to drink. I thought it was juice, but it was syrup. So it's really thick and full of sugar. I always had to take a sip of water because it was just too much.
Of course, drinking syrup as a strategy while taking part in an ultra-distance cycling race is fairly ill-advised. But there are certainly worse refueling options available. Race reporter Andrew catches up with Daniel Perotti, Cap 15.
But I had a really funny thing that happened to me yesterday on the second pass. I thought I want to buy a bottle of water, and I don't know whether you remember that old guy that was sitting there selling stuff. So I bought a bottle of water from him. It was quite expensive, but I thought, okay, he's doing his business. And I started to descend quickly, and eventually I had a big sip of this water, and it was Snaps. A full half bottle of Snaps. So that was my favorite moment yesterday.
So the real question is, how much of it did you drink?
I gave it to an old woman in exchange for Coke.
I bet she was delighted at that exchange.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe she had a good evening yesterday.
been a feature of this race so far that we have riders grouped very close together. It was very noticeable yesterday, which you'd expect a lot more on the first proper day of riding. But even today, we stopped to speak to Elias, and then the next time we stopped to take a photo of them just down the road approaching the Bosnian border. He came past pretty much neck and neck with number 8 Alain Rumpf, and we actually got to see an overtake happening in real time in front of us on this big wide fast road section on a descent, and they were tearing down there at I don't know, probably at least 40 or 50 k an hour, and yeah, a very nice smooth overtaking maneuver. So I can give you a live race update that there's been a position change. But yeah, it's cool considering how few riders there are in the race that they end up being that tightly packed together, and that's going to give like a lot of excitement and fun for those guys kind of jostling for position and battling it out in like mini races within the overall race.
Pierre Bischoff, Cap 32, briefly led the race on day one, and though Justinus is now out in front, he's still riding strong and taking part in a close battle for second position.
Morning, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I have slept 45 minutes in Tavernier, and I'm just riding my pace, and I'm surprised about my position. It was really after he passed me the first time that I've looked. Well, I'm still in the race, and Justinus is a legend, so I know what I've done, and I'm really happy to lead the race the first hour. That was a little bit funny, and yeah, now we see what our journey will bring, and I'm happy about my holiday.
The rider currently competing with Pierre for second is Cap 14. Christoph Dijkmans.
How are you feeling?
Quite nice for now, but I hate this kind of stretch. I'm really bad for a long stretch like this, so I have to manage. So I'm really looking forward to the mountains again, like less rhythm, something more like up and down will be better for me. But yeah, almost the end, I think.
And have you checked the tracker at all? Do you know where you are in the race? Is it where you want it to be? Have you got any aspirations?
This guy and Justinus, so... But he didn't sleep, I think. And Justinus is Justinus, so... Let's see. I think the goal is to not make this race so easy to Justinus.
We're driving into Trebinje, hot on the heels of some riders. It seems like a popular spot for riders to stop to resupply. We've just missed Jose Quintero, who stopped at a restaurant for a lunch, and we arrived literally just as he was leaving. And now we're going to see if we can find Martin Novak, who we think is still in town having some food. We didn't manage to find Martin, but we have found Arnold Gucha sitting outside a little tiny cafe just at the side of a car park in Trebinje here. And he's sitting in the shade next to a completely perplexed local woman who's just enjoying a Coke. I think she's on the phone to her friend describing the scene because it looks so strange. He's sitting on the floor tucking into a burek. It's a wonderful sight. Was it always the plan to stop here?
Yeah, because it's so hot and know the problems when it's hot and you're sweating and just go and don't stop and eat. And I like more the nights to drive.
And were you riding through the night last night then?
Yeah, I was really, at the beginning I just wanted to go a little bit and then it was really fresh. And then I just go until 2:30, and then I thought I will sleep on a field, you know, because they had down there in Podgorica, they had they had some hay, and that would be very nice. And then I just go up the hill, and then it was so cold there. It was crazy. Another guy was there near our house, under the roof, the small roof there. He told me to just covered, go further. And then I found a place in a house, near house or in a cellar. That was great. That's really fine sleep.
Hannah and Sam have taken the control car to go and shoot some riders coming into the town across a cool-looking bridge. So I'm left here to try and intercept riders when they stop to resupply. And it's a very pleasant town to be strolling around in and hanging outside some supermarkets waiting for riders. There's a very wide tree-lined boulevard that I'm patrolling at the moment, and it's just very nicely presented, really. It's very cosmopolitan, and there's various cafes and bars dotted along this street, and some nice looking apartment buildings.
Tom's patrolling leads him to Urs Manhart, Cap 36.
How are you feeling?
I'm pretty happy, yeah. And overwhelmed by the beauty of the landscapes. Yeah. It's gorgeous. I already believe that if I come to the finish, and when I come to the finish, I will say this is likely one of the most beautiful bicycle races on this globe. So, wow. It's really, really, very impressive here.
Are there any standout moments so far that's really impressed you?
I was a bit quicker the first day, and my plan was to arrive maybe at midnight on the third peak, and then I arrived there by 8:15 already.
Nice.
But it was so beautiful, I couldn't go down. I didn't want to leave, so I just said, well, maybe it's okay to camp early. So even before 9, my BV was set up. So I had a wonderful night up there with full moon, and I slept underneath the pine tree, and yeah, that was really lovely.
While searching for riders taking on the accursed, Tom bumps into a chap called Tiger, who's in the middle of his own bike adventure, albeit touring, not racing. He's just out here doing his thing, living the dream.
Well, I think that I just, this is my favorite thing to do. I feel so alive waking up every morning and having zero idea where I'm gonna sleep. I'm a particularly unplanned bike tourist. Yeah. I wake up and I look at the map, and maybe around 1 p.m. every day, I'll look at my map and start thinking, oh, okay, where is there a nice patch of land that I can set up my tent for the night and make my home? So, yeah, it means just this ultimate freedom. Like, some days it feels a little isolating. Sometimes it feels a little like, lonely and scary. Maybe camping somewhere where there might be a lot of animals, or you don't really know what's going to happen. But just feeling inspired every day really outweighs that. And feeling totally free to sleep wherever, eat whatever, do whatever, anytime.
Tom here, still in Trebinje, and I just looked down at the tracker to see who else was coming through town, and I saw the dot of Elias Backmund, and he came through ages ago, so I thought that was maybe like a glitch or something on the tracker. But I showed his track, and he's kind of done a U-turn and come back into town. So I'm desperate to try and find him to find out what's happened and why he's had to return to Trebinje. So I've tracked him down. Curiously, he seems to have headed to the same restaurant where Urs is headed for his lunch. So I've just run across town to see if I can find them. Elias, it looks like Not the ideal scenario here. I just spotted on the tracker you've had to return to town, which was quite a surprise. And I've just found you with your back wheel off and tubes all over the floor. And what's happened?
Well, I bought these TPU tires and thought they might be a good idea, although I had bad experience with another brand before. Mm-hmm. Well, I should have known better because, yeah, I had the first flat yesterday in the evening when descending the third downhill.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, maybe I did it a bit too much. But yeah, today on the just when I started the Giro, I had the first one. Then I thought, okay, something's off. And I saw that the
valve.
Yeah, where the valve meets the tube, there it's leaking.
Yeah.
So I changed it for my third and last spare tube.
Yeah.
And then 2 kilometers further, exactly the same problem again. Yeah. So. Yeah, luckily I was still near town here.
So my cap number is number 18, and my name is François.
François, you've stopped here at the little supermarket in Trebinje.
Yeah.
Was this always the plan to resupply here?
No plan at all. The only plan is just to finish the race and just, I don't know, it's my first one.
Yeah.
So a long one, so I don't have any idea how to deal with it and how to manage my race. So
so what's the main thing that you've learned so far, do you think?
About myself.
Yeah.
Even in 2 days. So I think even in 2 days, it's just like, okay, am I going to quit or not? Of course not. But each time you think about it, because your body starts hurting. Yesterday I did 200 kilometers in mountain bike. That was the first time for me. So, and you have to repeat it every day. So, of course, I'm going to learn about myself the most. Yeah, and about the country. But you don't really meet the people. So, I won't say that, but you discover a new country. I didn't know that the Balkans were so beautiful, so amazing. So, yeah, I think I'm going to come back with my girlfriend one day. Yeah.
While Tom spent the afternoon searching for those riders in the middle of the pack, the team in Control Car 2 have been out front and chasing the three leading riders. But the Accursed is more than a race. It's a chance to show the world some of the most remote, beautiful places in Europe and promote sustainable tourism. Unfortunately, sometimes the world takes one step back in the process of moving forwards.
So we're up above Ulog in the upper reaches of the Neretva River catchment. And we're revisiting the site of the new dam that they are building. We came here last year and it's sort of really stark to see the way they've just ripped away at the hillside and started damming the river. And this year we can see that the river is filling up. It's no longer this beautiful tumbling mountain stream at the bottom of the valley, and it's now this sort of more sluggish water, bit more pond like I guess, and that is probably killing the endangered Balkan salmon and the local fish life, which can be found in very few sites these days. It's the kind of thing that you read about all the time, but coming here to actually see it and feel it in the otherwise absolutely pristine landscape is really quite unsettling.
With evening on its way, most of the riders are either in or approaching Bosnia and Herzegovina. Out front, Andrew finally speaks to race leader Justina Slaveka, cap number 2, who continues to push despite having had a few problems at the border crossing.
So every time they would ask me, where are you going? I would be like, I will go back to Albania eventually, but which countries I'm going to go to and for how long I'm going to be there, I don't know. Where are going to sleep? I don't know. So they're like, why you do this?
How did they like those answers? Did they think it was suspicious?
One was like, okay, wait a bit. because I said like, okay, wait, I'll take the phone out and I'll find the route and I'll show you. Then there was no signal. Okay, I said like, I can't. Then he was like, okay, are you alone? I was like, there are some others coming, but they're a bit behind, so I don't know when they're gonna come. Okay, wait. I was waiting, and then a bus arrived, and then they were like, you go. So, because otherwise I might have stayed there for a while, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I should do better homework and learn the route, at least, of the countries that I'm gonna be in, for how long. Yeah, but now I know that I'm in Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Further back, Tom speaks to Spike Morris, Cap 34, who had a much more challenging border issue to contend with.
Last night I was mortified to realise I'd left my passport back at the start line. I was focusing on so many other things that for some reason that just slipped the list.
Right.
So I...
What did you do?
Well, I was in the middle of nowhere. It's like a mountain crossing.
Yeah.
So there's no ATMs and no taxis to get back to Škoda. I couldn't... It wasn't possible for me to get back to Škoda unless a taxi came to me. So I was calling taxi companies, but they all said no. Like, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. I was really stuck. And I spoke to the race coordinator and he said, like, well, there's someone at the hostel with my passport, basically. And they were like, look, I'll just jump in the car and give it to you, but it'll be a scratch because it's private assistance.
Yeah.
And I thought about it for 10 minutes. It's very tempting at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Definitely.
But I just called around the taxi companies one more time and just begged them. And this one person put his daughter on the phone who spoke really good English.
Yeah.
And we struck a deal. I made them an offer they couldn't refuse. And 100 euros later, via PayPal, because I had no cash as well, so I had to pay his daughter with PayPal.
Yeah.
100 euros later, he went to the hostel, picked up my passport and delivered it to the middle of nowhere.
Oh my God. Just run another lap of Trebinje. This time, just sitting down to dinner. Just got the order in, and then spotted that Torsten Brunner is in town, and it looked like he was checking into a hotel, so I've hot-footed it over here, back across the bridge. And actually going across the bridge shows off what an absolutely stunning town this is. You get the view right over to these huge kind of mountains that in the distance beyond, like what's actually quite a big river as well. So it's a beautiful scene. And sure enough, I found our rider checking into quite a nice looking hotel. How are you feeling?
Yeah, today I'm in the evening. I'm a little bit tired, and then my plan is stop early and start in the night with fresh energy on the flat area, the old railway track. I cycled this before, and it's very good to come back in time.
when did you cycle it before then?
Oh, this was some years ago, and yeah. This was funny. I found a puppy dog and bring it to my bike and cycle 130 kilometers with this dog, bring it to a dog station in Mostar.
Yeah.
And after some weeks, we're thinking about this dog, and now the dog is at home.
No way.
And I'm happy to come back to see this area. And I think the dog will kill outside. It was full with insects, and he'd run out of power. And I helped the dog.
Wow. What's the dog's name?
Eni, it's a wife. It's a very small dog because I travel on bike.
As day two of the Accursed comes to a close, race director Hannelore Balestier reflects on another great day of racing in the Balkans.
So Control Car 1 have just arrived at our hotel for the night in Čaplinja in Bosnia. We started our day in northern Albania and made our way pretty quickly through Montenegro and focused most of our day around the Trebinje area in Bosnia. We dropped Tom off in town there and Sam and I headed back out towards the Montenegrin border, and we're really focusing on getting some shots of these two lovely bridges that span the river. There's one place where riders come out of a tunnel straight onto this this gravel trail going across a bridge over the river, and there's this beautiful clear blue turquoise waters, and just hundreds of house martins flying around over the bridge. And Sam managed to get this beautiful shot of a rider coming out of the tunnel with all of these house martins flying around over them. We're going to stay here for the night, get up early, and hopefully catch a few of the tail end of the pack on the Chiro Trail coming into Chaplinia. Progress has been pretty good in the bunch. Obviously, at the front of the race, it's really pushing on with Justinus getting a big gap in front of everyone. But the whole of the mid-pack is moving pretty fast too. And even the back markers are managing to cover about 160, 170 kilometers per day, which is, if they keep up that kind of pace, they should be able to finish the route in time for the finish party. So, impressive to see everyone riding pretty strongly. And even within the race, there's all of these little groups forming where people are kind of competing against the riders around them.
Join us in the next episode, where we'll find out how our riders fare on day 3 of the Accursed Race. After 2 days in the saddle, there should be few surprises as to the challenge posed by the steep climbs and rocky trails of these mountains. Remember, you can read daily race reports from the road on our website and get updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.